Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency for August 17th, 2021. And that was item one. We move to item two, Pledge of Allegiance. And I would like to ask Director Plambeck if she would kindly recite the Pledge of Allegiance for us tonight. And everyone else, please mute your device or remain silent and recite it to yourself. Please, Director Plambeck.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Director Plambeck. We will now have our normal announcements. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with authorizations and requirements contained in Governor Newsom's Executive Order Ed-08-21, signed on June 11th, 2021. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak to avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your camera when speaking and turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members will be advised to use the raise hand feature in Zoom when action items are discussed and are presented. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda during item three. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda may do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make the comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6:30. Pardon me, I will circle back and ask for any public comment on closed session when I complete the announcements. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during public comment, and then please turn them off when you have completed your comment. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called upon by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will re-mute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. We will follow the following procedure for approving items and taking public comment. I will introduce each agenda item. I will ask for questions from the board members. Please raise your hand in Zoom. I will then call for public comments. The board may then ask additional questions and discuss further if necessary, including public comments if desired. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call the roll call votes. Any PowerPoint presentations shown at tonight's meeting were included in the board packet and can be viewed on the SCV Water website. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each action item being considered will be taken by roll call vote. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Director Armitage, are you present?
Present.
Director Bronstein, are you present?
Present.
Director Kelly, are you present?
Present.
Director Ford, are you present?
Present.
Director Cooper, are you present?
Present.
Director Colley, are you present?
I'm here.
Director Plambeck, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Director Ozahofsky, are you present?
Present.
Director Atkins, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Mortensen, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Gladbeck, are you present?
Yes.
President Martin, are you present?
Present.
Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you very much, April. We move to item three, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in the agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make that comment at the commencement of the meeting. I would ask, are there any members of the public who would like to comment on a closed session item before we go ahead, before we move forward with public comment?
We do have a we do have somebody who has public comment. Just one moment. Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit star six and you may begin your public comment.
Cam Noltmeyer, I wanted to speak this evening on an issue that I've been concerned about. I'm on the board of the Whitaker Burmite CAG. And I would like to inform the members a little bit of what we look at and what Whitaker Burmite is. If you don't know what Whitaker Burmite brown, it's a brownfield. What is a brownfield? It's a contaminated site. It's 998 acres. It's right basically in the middle of the city. So it is crucial on how it is developed. There are 10 chemicals still remaining on the site, in various, so it hasn't been completely cleaned up. They're still having problems with, and I read their reports, with water coming off the site. And it's important how this area is treated and developed. We realize that. We're not against it on the CAG. We're just saying it has to be with the full knowledge of what is restricted on this place. And a lot of what we hear, you know, is like there won't be any restrictions. You know, it's great. Let's go. And we just, on the CAG, want everybody to know. And you go into closed sessions, I believe. So you realize what it is you are going in and talking about. And I hope that makes it clear. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But it's mainly for the information of the new members of the board. We have been dealing with this for so many years that we don't sometimes realize there are a lot of people that have moved into the city that don't even realize that this 998, whatever it is, sitting in the middle of the city is a contaminated site. It could be a beautiful site if it's handled right, but right now they are, I just checked in recently, and they're still having a lot of problems with the water that's coming off of that site. And we know they're treating it. It's still a private treatment at this time, and it is being dumped into the river, which then goes into our water supply. And that is why we're concerned about it, and we just hope, if you have any questions, contact.
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer, for your public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer, for your comment. We can now move to public comments on items not on the agenda. Do we have any members of the public who would like to comment on items not on the agenda?
It does not appear so.
Thank you very much. We now can move on to item four, approval of the agenda. I would like to advise the board that item 5.2 has been pulled from the agenda, so you will be approving the agenda minus item 5.2. Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved, Director Cooper.
Motion by Director Cooper.
Second, Mortensen.
Second by Vice President Mortensen. Are there any questions? Are there any public comments on the agenda, Madam Secretary?
No, there is not.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osuchowski, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cawley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda has been approved with the removal of item 5.2.
Thank you very much. And before we go to item 5, approval of the consent calendar, I meant to mention for the board's information, we had no written public comments tonight. Otherwise, I would have read them. So we can now move to item 5, approval of the consent calendar, which now consists of item 5.1. Do we have a motion for approval of the consent calendar?
So moved, Director Armitage.
Well, I give the motion to Director Armitage and second to Director Cooper. Is there any public comment, April, before we call the roll?
There is not.
Very good. Unless there's any questions or further discussion, please call the roll.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cawley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osuchowski, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar has been approved, and that's just item 5.1.
Thank you very much. It appears that we have arrived at item 6 in record speed tonight. Thank you all. We have one item under item 6, action items for approval. It's item 6.1, approve the purchase of Ion Exchange, which is abbreviation IX for Ion Exchange, resin for NWELS PFAS treatment system. The presenter tonight is Mike Alford. And as always, unless General Manager Matt Stone has any opening comments, I will just turn it over to Mike for the presentation.
Yeah, I'll just make a brief comment. This obviously is part of a larger comprehensive program that the agency has embarked on to try to address PFAS in our water supply. And I haven't seen Mike's slides. I don't know if he's going to get into that, but I just thought since we have a little more time tonight, might put that in a little perspective. We do have our first facility up and running at the NWELS. We've got a number of facilities kind of in line in various parts of the planning or design process. This is but one transaction in that overall program. So want to kind of put that into context. And with that, I'll step aside for Captain PFAS.
Well, thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. I hope you are all safe and well. And no, I didn't get into the broader issue of additional locations. I specifically kept it for the NWELS. But I did in the memo kind of give some historical background. We've been here now over 2 years since this all began. It seems like a lifetime with 2020 being riddled with COVID. But nonetheless, we were able to, and if you can go to the next slide, April, we were able to design and construct and permit our first and the first ion exchange PFAS treatment system in the state of California. It took us about a year, a little over if you include the pre-ordering of the vessels because of the long lead time. But in terms of actual construction and permitting, it took just about a year. The capacity is approximately 6,000 gallons a minute. And there's three wells. There's well N, well N7, and well N8. There are 6 ion exchange vessels in 3 train lead lag configuration. And if you go to the next slide, and I'll explain it by the aerial. Next slide, yeah, thanks. So you can see it on the right-hand side. Lead lag just simply means it goes through one vessel, and then it goes through the second vessel, and then it goes into a collector line, where it's then disinfected and sent to the distribution system. So if you recall, and I think most of you probably do, there were 2 reasons why we chose this location. One, we had the property already, so there wasn't any property acquisition required for this. We also, there was 3 wells which brought the most amount of supply back online through one treatment plant. So you can see in the forefront on the far right are the cartridge filters. Those are pre-filters. Those handle any sand or anything that's pulled up from the groundwater well, so it doesn't contaminate the resin. And then it goes through each lead. There's 3 trains, train A, B, and C. Currently, train A and C are performing the best, and train B is performing the worst, I guess, if you want to use that word. What we did was to determine the type of treatment system, WQTS, Water Quality Treatment Solutions, and they did a bench scale test of 2 different ion exchange resins and 4 different GACs, 2 charcoal-based and 2 coconut-based. And the results indicated that the resins would operate better, more efficiently than the GAC. Fortunately, too, we were able to permit both types of resins. If you want to go to the next slide, please. So there's a one that we're familiar with. Evoqua's PSR2+, and we use that to remove perchlorate out of the SOGS perchlorate treatment facility, and as well as V201. But we are also able to, based on the bench scale testing, permit the PFA694A, which is a pyrolite resin. There's just an image of some resins on the right there. Ours would look like the one on the far right, sort of that golden fish egg looking. We've currently, at the time of this slide, I think we're up to like 95,000 bed volumes, but currently we've treated around 95,000 bed volumes. The bench scale testing said that it would last anywhere from approximately 130,000 to 180,000 bed volumes. So we're looking pretty good. The replacement criteria is based on the response level for PFOA at 10 nanograms per liter in the lead vessel. So we don't expect to see any on the effluent coming out of the lag vessels. And what we do right now is we're sampling all 3 wells weekly, raw water. We're sampling all 3 lead vessels. We're sampling all 3 lag vessels. And then we're sampling a combined treated effluent after disinfection. And so those are the 10 samples that we collect on a weekly basis. And the lead vessel is what's dictating when the resin needs to be replaced. Now, as you can imagine, you know, we'll get longer bed volume life out of the lead vessels because this initial lead vessel, because once the lead vessels are changed, we flop it and then the lag becomes the lead, but the lag is already picking up some that's passing through. So for example, train B, as I mentioned, the first vessel, we're seeing around 6 nanograms per liter of PFOA in the lead vessel of train B. And so right now the lag vessel of train B is going to be collecting all of that. Next slide. So it's already the cost of the anticipated cost of the resin has already been included in the fiscal year 21-22 maintenance and repair groundwater PFAS treatment budget. However, since each resin replacement is more than the general manager's authorization amount of 100,000, we need to bring it to the committee, E&O, and then directly to the board. The problem is with the long lead time of the resin, it's upwards of 3 to 4 weeks, they're saying. Originally, they were saying 3 to 6 weeks, but we spoke with one of our vendors today, and they said they think it's more like 3 to 4 weeks, so that's good news. With that long lead time, and with the unknown right now of when exactly we're going to need the replacement, modeling is showing that it's probably going to be about early to mid-October. But if we have to then time based on the water quality results, then prepare a E&O agenda item and then prepare a separate agenda item to come to the board, that would also potentially delay it. And we want to make sure we're able to maximize the bed volumes and at the same time, not exceed our permit condition of 10 nanograms per liter in the lead vessel. And so because of that, we're coming to the board to request the entire amount that was authorized. And then what we would do is on each replacement, we would then notify the E&O committee and the following E&O committee that it was replaced and how much it was. And I put approximately $230,000. The costs are a little bit different between the PFA and the PSR2 Plus. And then also the disposals cost is a little bit different. The maximum would be about $230,000 for one vessel. Next slide, please. So the recommendation from the Engineering Operations Committee is that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to procure ion exchange resin for the NWELS PFAS treatment facility in an amount not to exceed $1,847,860. And that concludes the presentation. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mike, for the presentation. Are we have any directors with questions? Director Armitage, you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Thank you. So first I want to say thank you for elaborating that the replacement is done based on response level in the lead vessel, because I didn't understand that second piece when I was initially reading that, and I was a little concerned about that. So thank you for clarifying that. Two questions. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by train B performing not as well as A and C? And then I think you tried to explain it, but I wasn't quite following you. How does that relate to switching the lead and the lag? And then is there anything we can do to optimize its performance? That's my first set of questions. And then the second set of questions is in committee, I heard you talking about the possibility of saving money if we switch to the alternative resin. And it wasn't clear to me if we were talking about the PSR2 Plus and the PFA 694A. Or if there was another alternative that you had discovered that seems to be a more cost-effective and just as performance-based effective, and if that could be happening anytime in the near future. That's it. Thanks.
Yeah, great questions. Thank you. So the reason why we think, we don't know for sure why train B is performing worse than train A and C, is there's either channeling that's going on inside the vessel. So when the resin was added, it wasn't added evenly in a nice uniform matter. That's one speculation. The other speculation is we did have a pipeline break during construction. And we think that maybe some of the dirt from the break got in the pipeline and made it past the cartridge filters and laid on the resin. So when I say it's performing worse than the other two, we have not seen any detectable levels of PFOA in the lead vessel of train A or train C. We're only seeing detectable levels of PFOA in lead vessel of train B. So the if you look at the graphs, it shows a straight line for those two vessels that there's no detection, but you see the rising of train B lead vessel, and then there's the modeled version of where WQTS's bench scale test assumes that we're going to get to our 10 nanograms per liter, which is roughly around 130 to 180. We might get more. We might get more out of train A and C. We just don't know at this time because it's our first run. So hopefully that answered your first question. The second one,
can I just Can I ask a follow-up to that real quick?
Sure.
So is it correct in assuming, though, that since it's all one system, that overall it doesn't affect the water, that the quality of the water coming out, right? Does it get caught up? It gets filtered then, the rest of that gets caught in the rest of the system, correct?
In the lag vessels, yes, definitely.
Okay,
yeah. Thanks. And as I mentioned, we're sampling all three lead vessels, we're sampling all three lag vessels, and then the combined effluent of all three vessels afterwards before it goes in the distribution system. And that's our compliance point, is that, they're all compliance points and required for the permit, but the final compliance point is whatever that discharge, the effluent is, the combined. The resin, it's not a resin, the media, the adsorption media that I mentioned in the E&O is something called Fluorosorb 200. I'm not exactly sure what the media is, but two different water agencies, San Jose and Orange County, have done bench scale testing. We're in the process of doing bench scale testing right now. They collected samples, I think, last week, to determine for our water, because it's everybody's water is a little bit different. Ours might have more natural minerals than Orange County or vice versa. And it all could potentially impact the efficiency of the resin. But the two bench scale tests that Orange County and San Jose conducted showed that the life of the resin was almost double that of the PSR2 plus and the PFA6984A, I think it was, I don't remember. The cost is about half. So if you're getting twice the life out of the adsorptive media and it's less expensive, then it's definitely an option. Now, DDW, we've spoken with them. They've requested some additional data from the manufacturer. So I know that Orange County is working with the manufacturer and DDW to provide them that information. We would have to go through a permit amendment. We would have to show the bench scale testing. They would have to be comfortable that everything was in order, including the NSF 61 certification, which means it's safe to use in drinking water. But we think it's going to be a possibility.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Director Armitage, and thank you, Mike. Director Ozahosky.
Mr. Alvord, so that will provide us with three different suppliers for the resins. Do you know of any other manufacturers currently trying to push something on the market?
No, I don't, other than the GACs. And there's a couple reasons why the GAC, other than it didn't perform as well in the bench scale testing. But the other thing is you have to have some sort of sewer connection to discharge the backwash water. It also requires a larger footprint. So those are the three reasons why we didn't use the GAC. I think there's a bunch of different types of GAC. The bench scale testing, you looked at four. But in terms of resin, those are the only two that I'm aware of. And then the FS200 is the third type of adsorptive media. Now, there are other processes that are being looked at. Some of them are being looked at in treating wastewater. And things, but nothing that's been brought to my attention or our agency's attention in terms of potential for a DDW approval.
Okay. I mean, we are spending a lot of money on this ion exchange resin, 1.8 million. Is there any way we can potentially advertise how much we're allocating this to specific groups? I was thinking maybe the agency could post an article with the American Chemical Society. I think some of your chemists in your laboratories are members, so that wouldn't really cost the agency anything to post anything there. But just to bring it up to the market, seeing how much we are spending on this, that might maybe influence some big manufacturers to get in the game.
Yeah, I'll talk with Kathy Martin, our PIO, and we'll see about doing something like that. What I also found out, I've been told by Purolite, who's the PFA, that resin particularly is being manufactured in Romania. So that's another reason with the long lead time. they do have plants all over the world. I think they have something like 17 plants, including in the US. That is one of the locations that the resin is being manufactured. But it's a great idea. I mean, you know, it's almost like you're handcuffed with your treatment solution. The other issue though is, even if there were multiple opportunity or multiple options for us to choose from, we still have to make sure that DDW approves it. So even if this FS200 shows great promise in a bench scale testing, we still have to prove to DDW that it's acceptable to use for drinking water.
Understood. And that testing would take place in-house in our laboratory. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, I spoke with Jeff this morning, our lab manager, and he's getting ready to run samples for 48 different analytes, including the 18 PFAS, which I thought I was going to be able to say we have ELAP certification already, but it's close. It's just not there yet.
Almost there, yeah.
Almost there. I can smell it.
Okay, understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Director Ozahowski. Are there any other questions from members of, I see Director Atkins with the hand raised. Go ahead, DJ.
Thank you, Captain PFAS. Good presentation. I wanted to ask if, in fact, we can get approval of this other resin that's twice as effective at half the price. Is that going to affect our budget going forward? I mean, you still need the 1.8, or I know you need it now, but will that affect our operating costs as you see it, if we're successful?
Yeah, absolutely. Just to clarify, the 1.8 is what has been approved in the budget. I don't anticipate us spending all of that. I mean, if you do the math, there's six vessels, and we're roughly looking at about $230,000 an exchange. And so that's, I think, right around $1.3 million. So I think I was waiting for Vice President Mortensen to ask that question. So we don't anticipate spending all of that. We just don't know. I mean, if for some reason the lag vessel only lasts 50,000 bed volumes as opposed to the predicted original 130 to 180, we don't want to be in a pinch. And again, we will bring it to the committee's attention every single time we place an order. But yeah, if we get to put in FS200 and it does prove to be as efficient as the two bench scale tests for Orange County and San Jose, yeah, it'll drastically reduce the cost.
Excellent. Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Of course. Go ahead, BJ.
When it comes to technical questions which were posed to you earlier, can those be posed to you independently, CP? In other words, could a board member approach you with the general manager's approval and ask those questions rather than take the
board's time? As long as General Manager Stone doesn't mind, I don't mind.
Thank you.
Very good. Do we have any other questions for, Vice President Mortensen? Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, President Martin. And thank you, Mike. That was a very easy to follow presentation. I appreciate it. So this will get us about 8 recharges of resin at 230,000 per recharge. How long would you anticipate that would last us? Based on our burn rate?
Yeah, based on the current data, it looks like it'll get us through the first quarter of next fiscal year. But we would only spend what's been authorized in this fiscal year, and then I'd come back again in July or whenever for the next fiscal year.
And could you tell me generally how much difficulty is incurred to try to get a third resin added to our permit? You have two that are permitted. If we have a better, more cost-effective option, how much effort is involved in trying to get that added to our permit?
So if you would have asked me that question maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said it would be no problem. My track record with DDW was pretty solid coming into this new agency. And I think it's still pretty decent. I mean, we did manage to get the first ion exchange PFAS treatment facility in the state in under 8 months in terms of permitting. The construction started in January 2020, but we didn't submit all of our documentation until about May. So I think we have some strong support for doing this. I think the real issue is going to be if the manufacturer can provide DDW with the information. So one of the things that I'll get a little bit of chemistry behind this. So the resin is anion specific, right? So it wants to take anything that's negatively charged. So things like initially things like sulfate, chloride, naturally occurring minerals will attach to it. But the affinity for things like perchlorate or PFAS is such higher that it pushes those off. What DDW wants to make sure is that those things don't concentrate. So for example, nitrate is a negative ion and it can attach onto the resin. And then if it builds up too much, they're worried about a large slug sloughing off. And so all the resin has been tested and approved for that. I mean, we still sample for all those different analytes. We sample for nitrate, all TDS, sulfate, chloride, a bunch of different things. But the provider of this FS200 has to show that it's been proven to not cause any adverse effects afterwards. That's just one of the things. The NSF-61 is already covered. I think they've already supplied that information to DDW. That is a big hurdle. Anything that comes in contact with water has to be NSF-61 approved, and any chemical used in water has to be NSF-60 approved. So they've gotten through that hurdle, but there's a few more things. They want to show breakthrough curves. So it's just a matter of how well the manufacturer is at providing this information. You know, the two big companies, Evoqua and Purolite, they have a staff of chemists. I don't know anything really about this company that produces the FS200. So, but, you know, if you pin me to, you know, if Director Atkins would ask the question on a scale of 1 to 10, how many weeks would it take? My guess is we can probably get it done before the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you. That was my next question.
Mike, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have any other questions from the board? Seeing none, I just would also add my appreciation for who I believe he should be called, Professor PFAS now. I think with his absolutely superb academic presentation on the chemistry involved. So thank you, Mike, pretty much. And I don't think we can say often enough how much we appreciate the work staff did to get this this first treatment facility on up and running last year, and to be the first one in. Did you say the first one in the state of California or first one in the nation?
State of California. I'm not sure. It could be the nation, but I don't know. I know for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's an awesome accomplishment, and all our thanks to you and the staff. So with that, do we have any public comment, April?
We do have public comment. Just one moment. Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment. Ms. Noltmeyer?
Yes, Cam Noltmeyer here. That was all very interesting. And a lot of emotion going on there and this sort of thing. I don't see anything or hear anything or get impressed by anything that doesn't say you found where the PFAS is coming from. It seems like there's nothing going on in that area. I hope I'm wrong. I hope somebody has had the sense enough to be looking at where this PFAS is coming from instead of just spending multi-millions now. It looks like that's what you're going to be doing. Oh, good. We can just spend millions of dollars. But I don't see anything out of this board or anyone, for that matter, concerned with what is the source of these PFAS? Why all of a sudden? And why are we allowing other agencies to come and dump into our treatment plant? Why? Do we have to pay for cleaning up theirs too. There's something very wrong in the system that's going on. I mean, anybody could sit down and throw out those things and say, oh, gee, we could do this and it's going to do that and that. So what? If you aren't looking for the source of the PFAS, what are you going to do? Just keep doing this forever? It doesn't make any sense to me what this agency does. I would like to see that you are, I know you're going to be having a closed session. You've had a lot of closed sessions. And usually it's with Whitaker Burmite. You would think that you would be coming up with some solution of somebody else than the ratepayers in paying for this nonsense. That would impress me. If you came up and said, yeah, well, you're going to have to spend millions of dollars, find out the source, make them pay. Then you would be doing your job. Right now, you're not doing your job. You're just trying to get somebody to show off about, gee, we did the first one in California. Is that something necessarily to be proud of if you don't know where it's coming from? And you have somebody on the hook for paying for it? It's the most backward board in those respects that I've ever seen. Because, like I said, I've been on Whitaker Burmite's CAG for more years than I
want to. Thank you, Ms. Meltmeyer, for your public comment.
We have any other public comment, April?
We do. Ms. Noltmeyer put her hand back up, but unfortunately she cannot make public comment again on the same item. So we do not.
Okay, so we have no further public comments. With that, I would ask for a motion on this item. Do we have a motion for approval of the recommended action for item 6.1?
So moved. Director Ford.
There's a hand raised by Director Colley.
Okay, so we do have a motion by Director Ford. Dr. Colley, would you like to ask your question or make your comment?
Yeah, I was waiting to make comments. I thought you were asking for questions initially earlier. I know we kind of confuse the two often. I was just going to suggest before we get the motion that or ask our counsel if it'd be possible to include in the motion the authority of the general manager to spend the budget in future times, future years. I don't think this ought to be the kind of thing that we see every time we are changing resin. I know it's expensive, but it's an expense that we simply must bear. And I'd prefer to see a motion that includes future authority to avoid potentially extending board meetings that sometimes do go a little long. Maybe we could ask counsel if that would be appropriate to add, and if the maker of the motion would like to, I'd appreciate having it done.
Okay, so before I take Director Planbeck's question or comment, Mr. Byrne, can you address Director Colley's suggested change?
Yeah, I want to make sure that I understand it. I understood that we were making, we were authorizing spending the budgeted amount so that we didn't have to come back to the board. So Mike, I'm not sure where the repeat is. Obviously, if we're going above the budgeted amount, we'd have to come back.
I think the question is, I'm sorry, Director Colley, go ahead. I was going to help you.
Yeah, I think you understand. I think you understand what I'm trying to do. Go ahead, please.
Basically, our purchasing policy, other than specified exceptions, such as utility bills and things of that nature, and we've included resin purchases for the settlement treatment plant at Saugus, but because this doesn't have a settlement attached to it, it falls outside of that exception. So I think what Director Colley is asking for is for the board to either modify the policy tonight or perhaps direct that that be brought back to modify if that can't be done because of Brown Act considerations.
Bingo.
Joe, you're muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you for that, Matt. It seems to me that we might want to bring back the policy another time. It seems we've kind of had a discussion here. I'm not sure the agenda description, while it's in the category, I think we could maybe do it. I think it's probably a safer play to bring back the policy.
Okay, and this does get us through the fiscal year, so it takes care of this budget.
Okay, so Director Colley, if we bring this back as a change to the policy in the future, we could head off this kind of thing in the future.
That'd be fine. I'm just trying to save some time. So hopefully staff will look for a light agenda in the coming months and provide themselves the flexibility at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree, Director Colley, and I think Director Cooper has also mentioned the possibility of doing this as a recurring known cost. Okay, so Director Planback, you have a question or a comment?
I just wanted to say that I don't think it's onerous to bring it back once a year, and I would like to point out that Director Osikoski had some really good suggestions as a result of it being brought to the board for review. And I would personally not feel comfortable without it coming back at least once a year. This is a huge sum of money. And I think it is a good idea to have all of our experience looking at it and seeing if there's any other ideas. We're a pretty astute board. Who knows what idea we might come up that Mr. Stone might like. That's all I was going to say, but we can talk about it at a future agenda. But I mean, he already said it would be a year before he brought it back or the next budget or something.
Thank you, Director Planback. Yes, we would consider it as a future agenda item. So we do have a motion by Director Ford. Unless there's further discussion on this item, do we have a second on Director Ford's motion?
I'll second Director Ozofsky.
Director Ozofsky seconds. Unless there's further discussion, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote? Director Ford?
Yes.
Thank you. Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ozofsky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. This item passes.
Thank you very much. We are now at item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone, please.
Thank you. For those of you who attended the Finance Committee meeting last night, that will consist of most of my report on activities. it was a late but productive night, so I do appreciate the committee hanging in there and providing a lot of really good input. And those items will be coming to a future board meeting. So bring your sack lunch for that one. I will say in other matters, we have been, personally I've been pretty busy with some things that probably are more aligned with the closed session in terms of the Whitaker Permite matter. And, but we did, we have been also working on some additional items, one of which was Steve Cole and I had a chance to go meet with our counterparts at the city just to kind of give them a general briefing on all of the various water treatment project activities that we have coming up so that they would be aware you know, from a siting and coordination standpoint. And I think that was a good discussion and a good kind of touch point to keep them in the loop as we develop projects that some of which will have, you know, more sensitive neighbor concerns and may have some off-site piping that would benefit from timing and coordination in terms of paving planning and that kind of thing. So that was a nice opportunity to actually have an in-person meeting at City Hall. The other thing I wanted to report on, and it's kind of a requirement per our policy and per conforming with contracting laws, when we have an emergency expenditure, I need to make a report to the board. We did send a memo out earlier today. It pertained to an emergency pipeline repair that we conducted last night at the Valencia Marketplace shopping center. And so it's going to sound like I'm reading it because I am, in order to make sure I'm complying. So consistent with the authority granted to the general manager in section 5.2 of the purchasing policy, the general manager hereby determines that based on the reasons in detail described below, there was an emergency that required immediate action and it was necessary to dispense with public bidding requirements. The details are on Monday, August 16th, last night, about 6 p.m., a 14-inch PVC line ruptured in the Valencia Marketplace parking lot, generally in front of Bed Bath & Beyond. Staff isolated the leak relatively quickly and with only one fire hydrant being impacted. The fire protection sprinkler systems for the stores were served off a pipeline in the alley behind the store, so there were no issues with building fire protection. There were impacts to the parking lot. Over 80 parking spaces are estimated to have been impacted with damage and debris. And so the main line was repaired in the early morning hours of August 17th, this morning. Due to the impact on the shopping center and with the lot closure, we expedited a paving and concrete work order to minimize the duration of the closure on the business. And paving work should be completed within the week, assuming no delays in materials. But rather than go through the normal bidding process, we procured that under my emergency authority. This main lane has had breaks in the past, and it is one of the targeted mains for replacement in our program. Our engineering section is finalizing the design in preparation for sending out for bids for that work, which is expected to be completed this fiscal year. And I will note, we do have some staff in attendance should there be any follow-up questions on that item. The only other thing I'll report on, just in general kind of COVID check-in, we have had since our last reported case, we've had a relatively, knock on wood, quiet period here of a little over, I guess, about a week and a half. And in general, LA County's numbers are leveling off. They haven't really gone down yet, but they do appear to be leveling. And hopeful that that's a real trend and not just a blip. Testing positivity rates are also down a little bit. There's some question of whether that's just all the school testing that's taking place, kind of pulling down the numbers, or if that's real. But the testing positivity and the hospitalization, which is a lagging indicator, are both flattening or going down at this point. So that's a good trend. And also, kind of to take some noise out of the data, I looked at kind of week by week over the last 6 weeks. And 6 weeks ago, we were at about 1,000 cases. 5 weeks ago, that had jumped to 1,600. 4 weeks ago, it was 2,400. 3 weeks ago, it was 2,900. 2 weeks ago, it was 3,456. And this past week, it was 3,442, the daily average for a 7-day period. So that would give us some hope that maybe we're seeing an effect to increase awareness and the return of of some level of precaution while remaining as open as we can. And we'll continue to try to employ those methods here at the agency. Looking ahead to the return of in-person board and committee meetings, there are some things that we will be discussing with board leadership about precautions that could be in place for access to those meetings so that we can protect the public and our board members and staff essentially from one another and not knowing what they might be bringing in other than their agenda packet. So that will likely, will include masking, and we're looking at whether there should be any other provisions, such as perhaps a temperature check on site for people to be able to make sure they don't have a fever as they're coming into the building. That kind of concludes the update for tonight, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions from the board on Mr. Stone's report? I have see two hands raised, so I will go to Director Ozahosky first.
Mr. Stone, how often do you meet with city officials on an annual basis or within a year?
Well, it kind of depends. There are different issues that have kind of recurring meetings, and depending on, from an agency standpoint, they may involve different staff. So for example, Courtney may interact more frequently. Same with Mike. There's also a scheduled annual meeting regarding Central Park that takes place once a year. And then beyond that, we typically, in more normal times, we run into each other a lot, in terms of places that I might bump into the city manager and be able to just have an impromptu conversation. And then the last category would be when we have something of interest or need, either the city or the agency is generally pretty good about reaching out and asking for a meeting. So in that case, this was one of those. We just, as we were getting ready to talk about more projects coming up, we realized we should probably get the city a briefing on kind of the overall number of projects that we have in the pipeline, so to speak, so they'd be aware of the scope of that. Also, we kind of briefed them on the water resource context and you know, those considerations, and then what was the general public health background on PFAS.
Understood. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
To put a number on that, I'd say it's averaged probably 2 to 3 times a year as far as a sit-down meeting. And then, you know, other communication is sometimes just phone call or email or bumping into someone and then saying it, by the way.
Okay. Thank you.
Director Atkins, you have a question or a comment.
Real quickly, Manager Stone, in terms of putting a number on things, I think it would be informative if you could also, if you can find out and report out not only the affirmative, there were positive test results, in other words, who's actually contracted COVID, but how many tests were administered in the same period of time. So I'd just like to know if the number of tests are ramping up with these positive results, or if the number of tests administered are remaining the same, and the results are ramping up, that's telling. So it would be helpful to have both numbers if you can get them.
Please. Yes, and that's where that percent positive number really comes in handy, because that takes one and divides it by the other, and those come right from the County of LA Public Health COVID-19 dashboard. So they do track total tests as well as percent positive. I just found percent positive sort of takes some of that noise out, although there could be things that drive it. You know, if you're doing more routine testing of people that aren't coming in with symptoms, you know, then you're likely to drive down your percent positive, because you're picking up people that, you know, just aren't sick, but they're getting routine testing. And so that can, you know, distort it a little bit. So it's really interesting because you got to look at a lot of indicators to really understand, is it a trend or is it just a, you know, something else going on moving the number around for you?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the polymerase chain reaction test, and I'm kind of, it would be helpful to have those numbers. So thank you.
All right, thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Stone? Beth, are you in the process of raising your hand? Oh yeah, you do have it. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Beth. Sorry. Director Bronstein.
I was just wondering if when we discuss about measures, when we go back, if we have a backup of like, if somebody is sick in general, like I don't know what the procedures are for things like that. If there's a way to, you know, if somebody's coughing and sneezing, I don't think any of us will feel very comfortable to be sitting in the room next to them. I know my daughter just had a cold, not anything horrible, but so I'm just wondering if there's a way or protocol, at least for directors, once we returned.
Yeah, I mean, I think the county health protocol and the state protocol for that matter is entering the premises, you're supposed to not do so if you are experiencing any of that list of symptoms. So that would generally indicate that you should not enter the premises so as not to endanger others.
So if somebody's like that, then we just don't show up for a board meeting? We just call in sick? Is that how it works? Sorry, I've just lived like this whole time. So I'm like, not a problem if I have a cold. I can be here. But
that's wild. That's a good point. That is a really good point. This would be your first in-person board experience. So, I mean, I think it's, I may be venturing out further than I should, but I would say in general, I mean, if a board member has been sick in the past, they tend to stay home. I know we had an infamous case of an unnamed board member who had pink eye, and April wouldn't let him touch any papers for two weeks. So I think it was discussed publicly enough that we could say that. But.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Director Bronstein. I would hope that directors would do the responsible thing. If they were sick, they would stay home. But and that'll be up to each director's discretion on what they have to handle that. So any other questions for Mr. Stone? April, do we have any public comment on item 7?
We do not. Oh, it looks like Vice President Mortensen has his hand up.
I'm sorry. Vice President Mortensen, go ahead.
I just wanted to give a shout out to our repair crew the people in maintenance. It sounds like they had a longer night than the people on the finance committee, which was really saying something. So that 14-inch main break, much appreciated their work in a timely manner there.
Thank you. Give new meaning to Bed Bath and Beyond. But all right, so do we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. Then we can now move on to item 8, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes. You will see there is one committee report in your packet. Do you have any questions on the report, or does Chair Cooper have anything he'd like to add at this point? Hearing none, seeing none.
Nothing to add.
Very good. Thank you, Director Cooper. Do we have any public comment on item 8, April?
We do not, but it does look like Director Armitage has
Raised her hands up. Director Armitage, sorry.
That's okay. I put it up late. May I make a comment? Is that a yes? Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear.
I think I muted myself before I said yes. Of course. Okay. But thank you. Yes, of course.
Thank you. I wanted to say that I appreciated listening in on the engineering and operations committee meeting, and I enjoyed learning about the various safety trainings and the measures that are monitored for staff to try to keep everybody safe. At the very beginning of the quarterly safety presentation, the leading slide showed the various categories of safety. So it had like hazard communication, heat, illness prevention, first aid, CPR, AED, PPE, disinfection, new hire training, and excavation, and ergonomics. And the presentation touched on most of these categories, but I didn't hear any information about heat illness prevention for the staff who work outdoors. So I know I'm not on the committee and I don't really have a say on what's discussed there, but I would be interested in knowing what training is being done and what precautions are taken to ensure staff that work in the outdoors do avoid heat related illness during these peak temperatures that we're experiencing. So if perhaps that could be included in the presentations in the future, I would love that. Thank you.
And Director Armitage, I know that we do that, the agency does, and maybe Mr. Stone might have some information because that's one every summer that we do.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, I probably would want to make sure I'm up to date, but probably better to handle it in a presentation at the engineering committee, just so it's complete and we get a chance for Mark to kind of weigh in on everything that's done.
Okay. Very good. We don't have any further questions. There's no public comments, so we can move on to item 9, President's Report. First thing I'd like to announce in this report is that at the meeting where we voted to return to in-person meetings under the no changes format, we also expressed the desire to form an ad hoc committee to look into boardroom technology for possible future hybrid or remote attendance possibilities. So with that, I did appoint an ad hoc committee that is comprised of directors Armitage, Cooper, Gladbach, Ozahowski, and Plambeck, with Peter Ozahowski as the chair of the committee. So we are not asking Chair Ozahowski tonight to make a report, but in the future, I'm sure Director Ozahowski will be able to report in on the progress of the ad hoc committee. I don't think this is going to be a quick process. I would expect that they will look into this in quite a significant level of detail of what other agencies are doing. So, and I appreciate the members of the committee being willing to serve because it's not an easy matter to participate in something like this. So I would like to also update the board on following upcoming meetings. The CSDA annual conference in Monterey is on August 30 through September 2. The Urban Water Management, the Urban Water Institute 28th annual water conference is being held in Costa Mesa on September 8 and 9, at least so far, unless that's upset by the health department. The 2021 economic outlook forecast is scheduled to be held at the Santa Clarita Performing Arts Center on September 17th, 2021. The CSDA Special Leadership Academy in South Lake Tahoe is scheduled for September 26th to 29, and covers governance responsibilities. The AQUA 2021 Fall Conference is being held in Pasadena from November 30 to December 2. And apparently attendees may attend in person or virtually. In other announcements, just a reminder for those who have yet turned in a request but would like to be considered for an AQUA committee, requests are due to the Board Secretary by August 26, 2021. And with the board so far, at least going back to live meetings in October, on October 5 to be specific in 2021, please make sure you have read the board secretary's email on a few items. One is having to do with any agency iPads that have been assigned to you. And also to save time at the first meeting in September, the board secretary will randomly choose seats for each of the directors, excluding the president and vice presidents, and refer to the emails that the board secretary has sent out to you. Dinner will not be served during the meeting. However, snacks will be placed at each of the director's spots and water and cups will be available outside the boardroom. Coffee and tea will be available in the downstairs kitchen for your convenience, but don't forget to bring your refillable SCV water bottles. And that concludes the president's report. I would entertain any questions, and following that, we will ask for any public comment. Seeing none, hearing none from questions from the board. Do we have any public comments, April?
We do not.
Very good, thank you. We move now to item 10, AB 1234 reports. Do we have any AB 1234 reports that directors would like to give orally? Well, I don't see any, so I guess we do have AB 1234 reports in the packet. So I would ask, are there any public comments? Oh, I see one hand raised. So let me back up a step and say, Director Atkins.
Yes, thank you. On August 10th, I attended the Southern California Water Committee's presentation on stormwater. And it was well attended. It was an excellent presentation. It had a lot of really impactful speakers, and I appreciated the opportunity. There was probably at least 60 people on the webinar, and it was truly informational, and I appreciated being able to attend. Thank you.
Director Cooper.
Yesterday, I had my meeting with General Manager Stone. Was a very good meeting. I really appreciated the time that he took to talk with me.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that the training that Director Atkins mentioned, it is available by recording as well, in case anybody else is interested in viewing it. I'm going to be watching the recording because I did hear it was very good as well. So I just wanted to mention that in case anybody was interested. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Director Armitage. Are there any other AB 1234s? Director Cooper, you still have your hand raised, so I'm not sure you have another report or just have your hand raised. All right. If there are no other further AB 1234 reports, we again will ask, are there any public comments, April, on item 10?
There is not.
Very good. We move to item 11, director's reports. And I would like to pass this item 11.1 and 11.2, to our Vice President Gladbach, who is the sitting member on the Aqua Board, to make the presentations of those two items. Go ahead,
Vice President Gladbach. I'm glad we're running early, so I got a lot of time to spend and describe in great detail these two wonderful ladies. I got a request from each of them last week. And so the resolutions are due to Aqua by September 1. So we had to bring it directly to the board. So that's why it's here tonight. First of all, I'm going to talk about Pam Tobin. Pam is currently the vice president of Aqua. She's a director with the San Juan Water District, which is just east of Sacramento. She's been involved in water since 2004 and been involved in Aqua since 14. And as I mentioned, she's vice president. She was elected vice president in 2019. As vice president of Aqua, she has really initiated a great program called Leadership to Leadership, whereby she meets virtually with different leaders in the water community, or not only leaders, but directors and staff, to get their input regarding issues. And she is really high on communications, and that's one of her goals, if she's elected president, to really increase the communications between the different committees and regions because as I've seen and she's seen too, the there's not a lot of internal, it's what I call silos. There's not a lot of good cross communication among the those different groups. I've observed her in JPIA as vice president of AQUA. She's automatically on the executive committee of JPIA. And I've been impressed with her actions and support and thought. To remind those of you who were here before, and for the new directors, we passed a resolution 2 years ago supporting her nomination, and then a second resolution later, not only supporting her, but also nominating her and directing me to nominate her from the floor, which I did, and she was successful in winning. As an aside, she has rescued Great Pyrenees dogs. She's rescued over almost 3,000 dogs. She drives all over the Western states to pick up these rescues, some of which are in bad shape physically, needing surgery, which she does, and she nurses them back to health and does an awesome job with that. So I move that we pass a resolution supporting her as president of AQUA.
Second, Atkins.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for item 11.1 to approve the resolution in support of nomination of Pamela Tobin for position of AQUA president. We have any questions from the board before I ask for public comment? Madam Secretary, are there any public comments on item 11.1?
There is not.
Thank you very much. Is there any further discussion about 11.1 before we call for the vote? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote? Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote? Director Planbeck, you're muted.
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osohofsky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Enthusiastic yes.
This item passes, and that's resolution number 22-SCV-229.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Director Gladbach, Vice President Gladbach, for the presentation. Now you can take it away on item 11.2.
Okay, it was my pleasure to present Kathy Green to you. Kathy Green's been involved in public service for nearly 20 years, having served on the City Council of Huntington Beach for 8 years and 2 terms as mayor. When our friend Bill Cooper and I, when Wes Bannister died, or when he was getting ill, why he asked her to take his place on Orange County Water District Board, which she graciously did. That was in 2010. And she's been involved in AQUA for almost 10 years now. And she has served as chair or vice chair and vice chair of Region 10, which consists of Orange County and San Diego counties, and has been very involved in other committees. So with that, she's also, I think she got a great background. She's a nurse, she's a registered nurse. She's also an attorney. So it brings interesting aspects to the leadership in AQUA. So with that, I nominate Kathy Green as Vice President of AQUA. I move the resolution.
And I would second that.
Supporting her, so.
I would second that motion. You're muted, Gary.
All right, let me repeat that. A motion by Vice President Gladbach, second by Director Cooper on this resolution. Before I ask for public comment, are there any questions for on this item? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on item 11.2?
We do not.
Very good. With that, I would ask you to call the roll.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osuchowski, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yeah. Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. This item passes, and that's resolution number SCV-230.
Thank you, President Martin, and thank you, Board, for supporting these resolutions.
Mr. President?
Yes.
May I ask, Vice President Gladbeck, has there ever been a time in your history where two women were in line to take over the slate of Aqua?
No, not only that, I think Pam will be probably the fourth woman of Aqua, president of Aqua.
That's wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, I thought it was historic.
Very good, I'm looking forward to seeing them both in lead positions for Aqua for the coming year. All right. With that, we can. Are there any other director reports before we move on to item 12? Seeing none, we do have a closed session tonight to consider item 12.1 in your agenda. You also received an email with the login information to the Teams meeting. So I would ask that you please when it comes time to adjourn from this meeting temporarily to go into closed session, please leave the Zoom meeting. I would also ask that members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. Once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to the Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and the remaining agenda items. As always, I'd like to remind the board that this is closed session, and you need to be in a place where no one else can hear the discussion. We will be taking a 5-minute break before we begin closed session. According to Verizon, it's 7:53. So I will ask that we be back in. We logged in for closed session by 7:58. And with that, we are temporarily adjourned to go into closed session. We are back in open session. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Director Colley, are you present?
I am here.
Director Ford, are you present?
Present.
Director Osuchowski, are you present?
Present.
Director Kelly, are you present?
Present.
Just a reminder, can anybody who's not speaking please mute your microphones? Thank you. Director Armitage, are you present?
Present.
Director Plambeck, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Director Atkins, are you present?
Present.
Director Bronstein, are you present?
Yes.
Director Cooper, are you present?
Here.
Vice President Mortensen, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Gladbeck, are you present?
Yes.
President Martin, are you present?
I am present.
Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you very much. We are back in open session. We move to item 13, closed session announcements. Mr. Byrne.
Thank you, President Martin. I would report that there was no action taken during closed session. That's reportable pursuant to the Brown Act.
Thank you very much. We move now to item 14, director requests for approval for event attendance. Do we have any requests for event attendance? Seeing none, we can move to item 15, director requests for future agenda items. We've explained in the past what future agenda items mean, so I don't need to go over that again. Do we have any requests for future agenda items besides the one that was brought up earlier in the meeting tonight? I see two hands raised. Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thanks. I was going to throw out an idea for in something that's happening next month, but then I decided the timing's not right. So, but I still want to mention it for consideration for next year. So this is like a future super agenda item. So the city of Santa Cruz is hosting the annual River Rally, as I'm sure many of you have heard, on September 18th, and it's being promoted as a way for community members to help preserve one of the last natural river systems in Southern California that recharges our groundwater. So if we weren't in the midst of dealing with COVID right now, I would have asked if others from the agency were interested in teaming up and volunteering together, but I don't think it's a good idea to encourage gathering right now. So if we're not dealing with COVID next September, I'd like to bring it up then and suggest that we, if it's safe to do so, create a team and do this as a fun team exercise. So that's it, thank you.
Director Brownstein.
Thank you. As a bounce off of last night's FNA committee, I was wondering if we could get a risk assessment process presentation or something like that. Finding out that there's the whole, as a new director, finding out that there's the whole lift and sewage thing in Spring Canyon there, I realize that there's a lot of things that I don't know, and I was wondering if there was a way for us to get some kind of presentation in general about all of our stuff, if there's stuff that I need to know that
Very
nobody
good.
Tells me unless it comes up in an agenda item.
Yeah. Director Brownstein, I know Mr. Stone attended the FNA last night, as did a number of staff members, and participated in the long discussion that you initiated on risk assessment. So, Mr. Stone, do you have anything you want to add or respond to this? I've been thinking since the meeting that it does it tie into our asset management plan going forward, because asset management also addresses risk assessment, I believe. But I think it's a good idea going forward, and I would leave it to staff to come up with a presentation that addresses at least what we're doing and what perhaps we might want to do going forward.
I had one last request. It's not an agenda item. I just don't know when okay. It's appropriate to say it. But I was hoping that when we get presentations, especially if it's about a location, if we can get a more concrete location on where things are, it's hard sometimes to hunt down and figure out, and it would be nice if it's in the packet. So like Spring Canyon, where that's located, I know where it is generally, but I would like to get the location, like the N wells and everything else, just instead of having to hunt down that information myself.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I think some of the reference documents in the CFD items last night didn't have as good of miles or landmarks, I would say, or street locations, so you could locate it. So, okay, that's noted. Director Atkins.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we're enduring this pandemic the way we are, because many of the other directors had the benefit of tours of some of these facilities. And,
right.
and it would be, I think what she's asking for, pardon me for paraphrasing, but what she's asking for is a series of maintenance moments that highlight some of the facilities, possibly focusing first on some of the more vulnerable facilities we might have. And that would start the process of evaluating risk.
Very good. Thank you.
So down for a field trip. And I think that I know that Kathy is for sure down for a field trip.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Director Orzechowski would be into that, because I mean, I'll go by myself too. Even if I know where these things are, I will go and see them ahead of time, but I just need to know where they are, so I don't, you know, stumble into something I'm not supposed to.
And the next best thing is a series of presentations. I mean, if we can't do the actual field trip because of gathering concerns, then you can at least have a series of presentations and PowerPoints and so on that, you know, two or three of them until we can get you on a field trip, something like that, that gets you some knowledge of these facilities, because they're extensive. Thank you.
All right, very good. Vice President Mortensen, you have something you'd like to add?
I was just hoping that, if possible, maybe Mr. Stone could give us, or Steve Cole could give us an assessment of the risks involved with the sewer pipe in the river. At the same time, we received the presentation on the Spring Canyon CFD, or some limited presentation then, because the two are very much related.
Sure.
Very good.
And I was just going to say, I think we have presented that information to the board and committee in a previous meeting, so we can dig that presentation out and see if we can pull out the pertinent elements of that and repeat that. Not a problem.
Good. Director Colley.
Yeah, I just going to mention that I had actually, at the time that the agency, we merged, if you will, I had approached Mike Alvord about the possibility of touring some of the facilities, since I had never had any experience with any Newhall facilities, and it had been quite some time. It's been 20 years now since I had any tour of the facilities, and I was told at the time that that was in the works, that we were going to get that, and there was going to be a whole board event that would accomplish exactly that. And that seems to have fallen by the wayside. And it fell, we can't really blame COVID on that. It fell by the wayside long before COVID. So I think that the idea of resurrecting that idea is a good one. I thought so then, and I continue to think so.
Thank you, Director Colley. Any other requests for future agenda items? Director Orzechowski.
Just want to make a quick comment. I believe Mr. Abercrombie is working on arranging a tour, but he needs a green light from Mr. Stone, and Mr. Stone needs a green light from public health agencies, all regarding COVID. So I think it's just a waiting game. Is that right, Mr. Stone?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is needing to have a caravan of vehicles driven individually or some other arrangement. It was looking pretty good in April and May, or I'd say probably late May. And hopefully we'll get through this current wave and things will look a little better. But I'll probably just leave it there. Otherwise, we'll be actually discussing the agenda item as opposed to agendizing the agenda item.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. Any other requests for future agenda items? Seeing none, we have any public comment, April?
We do not.
Very good. As we head into item 16, adjournment, I simply want to take a moment and wish our board secretary a safe and joyous trip to the Hawaiian Islands that she leaves on Friday for a well-earned rest and an enjoyable vacation. She has had a very busy year, as everybody on staff, but I do wish her well, and I hope her and her husband John have a wonderful time in the islands. And with that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Aloha. President Martin. Thank
have
you.
Have a good trip, April.
Bye. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.